Amen. God is good. All the time. And all the time. Amen. We're blessed to be here this morning. It's only because of Him that we live and we move and have our very being. It's only because of God's grace and mercy. It was not your alarm clock that woke you up this morning. It was only the grace of God. It was only the mercy of God. It was only the love of God. It was only the long-suffering of God that woke us up to see this day. For that we truly ought to be grateful. Amen. Because He didn't have to allow us to see this day. But He did, and we're grateful. It's good to be here in Austin, Texas. In Houston, we had a water main break on one of the places Thursday. They was telling people to boil water. And so it's good to come to Austin. We didn't have to boil any water. And we're able to come down and be here at the Wheelers Lane Church of Christ this weekend. And I've enjoyed the time of being able to get to know a little better your elders, Brother Galloway, Brother Robertson, Brother Noel, and getting to get acquainted with you even better. It's been a pleasure and an honor. If you would, turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. If you're a guest here this morning, if you're here for the first time at the Lord's Church, we definitely consider you to be our honored guest if you're here for the first time. And we pray that you will have a great stay here at the Wheelers Lane Church of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. We're thankful for Brother Roberts for the songs and for Brother Galloway for the introduction and the brothers who read the scripture and for the prayer this morning. How do y'all feel this morning? All right. Well, let's let your faces show it too. All right. Can I get a smile? Can I get everybody to smile? Can I get everyone to smile for a second? Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 4 through verse number 6. The Bible says there is one body and one spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This morning we want to talk about the distinctive nature of the one church. The distinctive nature of the one church. Its characteristics this morning. When we look at this lesson, Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, and when he wrote the book of Ephesians, it was a letter that was written to a group of people who believed that they didn't have much, that they were poor, that they were paupers. And Paul, when he wrote this letter to them in Ephesus, he wrote this letter to help them to see all of the blessings that they had that were in Christ, all of the richness that was in Christ Jesus. When he wrote this letter, he wrote it to them so that they could understand that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. That you can have all of the material gain in the world, but if you don't have spiritual treasure, you've missed something. You can have a Benz, a Lexus, a Bugatti, you can have a Mercedes, but if you don't have spiritual blessings, you've missed it. So Paul wrote this letter, and he wrote this letter to help them to see about the mystery or the eternal purpose of God. That God had a plan for all mankind from the beginning of the world. that God had something that was in store for all men. God, it was in the mind of God that all men would be one and in one family from eternity. Before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, before things happened in the world, y'all can say amen, God had a purpose. He had a plan for man. And many of us today, many people want to know, what is my purpose? What does God want for me? And what should I attain in this life? And what should I be seeking after? When you look at the book of Ephesians, it helps us to see God had a purpose for man. God had a plan for man. And so when we look at this, we don't have time to deal with these seven warnings that Paul gave in Ephesians chapter 4. The word distinctive means unique, marking as separate or different, a special quality or identity. And the word characteristics is a distinguishing trait, a quality or property. The primary distinguishing factor of the Lord's church is its founder and builder, because it's purchased with the blood of Christ. It is purchased with the precious blood. We know that blood, the Leviticus 17 talks about there's life in blood. But the blood of Christ is what purchased the church of Christ. That is important, because this blood which was shed on Golgotha or Calvary, the place of the skull where our Lord was crucified, Matthew 27 and 33. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, where it says, take heed unto yourselves and over to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That blood is essential, because if we did not have that blood that was shed, that blood washes our sins away. And man, without the blood of Christ, without being in Christ, is in sin and separated from God. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verse 20 through 21. Jesus prayed that we all be one. Now, I guess I can see maybe why it's the way it is, because some people don't like this kind of preaching even today. They want to hear therapeutic preaching. They want to hear name it and claim it preaching. They want to hear how I can get a breakthrough, and how I can get over, and how I can get over this and over that and come back, and my setbacks is a comeback, and I want to get, you know, they want to hear that. But we need to, but even when I look at it in just everyday life, when we learn basic math, that helped us. You know, you go to, sometimes you go to places and you get $5 for a meal, and the meal is $3.24. And they give you $2 back. Or they give you $1.50 back. They, you know, basic math is critical. I'm not trying to be facetious, but I'm just saying that, you know, just the basics of addition and multiplication, this is not geometry and calculus and trigonometry and that sort of thing. Just basic math is important. And so this may seem to some to be elementary, but we need it. Because man can decide to be, you know, there's a church on every corner if you pretty much you go through. Man can decide to build his own church. You know, Kanye West had in his mind, he wanted to start his own church. So now he has a Sunday service. Well, he's quoted saying, I wanted to start my own church, and he started without preaching. That's fact. He started without even having preaching. So you have people who will go to a Sunday service just to be a part of something. But Jesus promised in Matthew 16:18, when he talked to Peter, he says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not prevail against it." Christ is the head of his church. There's no man-made heads. There's no popes. There's no cardinals. There's no clergy and laity. There's no archbishops. There's no reverence in Christ's church. Christ is the head of his body. He's the one that promised to build it. He's the one that built it and bought it with his own blood. So the one body is the what. We see the who built it, but the one body, the what, is the one body, the church, that he built on the day of Pentecost, when he established that one church. And we don't have time to deal with the one spirit and the one Lord and the one faith and the one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. But who built it was Christ. The what was the one body, the church. When it began, if you turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 36 through 47. Acts chapter 2. I'd like to hear some pages turning. Or some phones turning. Or some fingers moving. Say amen if you can. Acts chapter 2, verse 36 through verse number 47. The Bible says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify, saying and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And it goes on to talk about them continuing in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread and sold their possessions and other things. And it says in verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church such as should be saved." I see places there today, I see places where they have a church with a difference. And that's the problem. Because we got too many A churches and not the church. We've got too many people that they want to say that in the day of Pentecost, after they heard the first sermon about how that the Lord was hung up for our hang-ups, that we could get the hookup. How he was hung on the cross for 6 long hours, and how they pierced him in the side, and out came blood and water, and how they did all of these things to him, and they mocked him, and they spit upon him, and they crucified him, but they did all of these things to him. They heard how that Jesus was hung up for our sins. They heard about the Lord of Lords was crucified, and they mentally believed what they heard. There was not if there was ever a time for faith only to be propagated, it would be here. If they were convicted in their heart, they were cut in their heart, and they asked, "What shall we do?" Now, Peter could have said, you don't have anything to do. You heard, you believe, you're saved. Go join some church somewhere, or go, or you just pray. He could have just said all of that. You don't have to do anything. That's what Peter could have said. He could have said, "Well, you're remorseful. You've heard. You're convicted. You don't have anything to do." But Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Pentecost was 50th day after Passover, was also known as the Feast of Weeks. 50 days after Passover, the Lord's church was established. In fact, it was established from the beginning of time, but in fact, in principle, the day of Acts 80:33 is when the church of Christ began. Because God had a plan for man. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, there was an eternal purpose of God, or some even call it the scheme of redemption. Now, don't get scared by that word scheme. We're not talking about a Ponzi scheme here. We're not talking about something where, you know, somebody's going to try and take your money, or a phishing scam, or, you know, I was, the other day I saw where this lady on Shark Tank, she lost $400,000 by some kind of scam or scheme or whatever, and I just wish, man, I can't imagine even getting to having $400,000. I can't even dream thinking of how I would ever, but she lost $400,000, you know, and sometimes the word scheme, we think of a plot or something, but really it's a plan, the plan of God, the scheme. In Ephesians chapter 3, and throughout the book of Ephesians, we'll see the Lord's body being promoted and established. In Ephesians chapter 3, the eternal purpose of God, it says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles," don't miss this. See, the gospel was first, Romans chapter 1, we'll talk about that the gospel was first to the Jew. Paul would say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith." Paul would talk about the gospel was first to the Jew, but everyone who was not a Jew, was born as a Jew, of the race of being Jewish, if you're a Gentile, You're outside the ark of safety. You were not saved. You were separate from God. And even today, if those who don't obey the gospel, they're outside of Christ. So the Gentiles, God's plan, Jesus wanted Jew. He wanted there to be one fold. John 10 talks about he had other sheep that were not of the fold. He said, "I'm going to also bring them in." The Jew and the Gentile. He said that the Gentiles, if you weren't here today, pretty much everybody, you're a Gentile. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. See, God's purpose was that all men would be in one body. And his purpose is not, it is, and I'm so glad God is a God of love and he doesn't care about skin color. He's not hung up on race. He's not hung up on sex. He's not hung up on class. He's not hung up on what side of town, or if you live in Pflugerville, he likes you. If you live in Round Rock, he likes you. He don't like you. He's not hung up on those things. God is a God that cares about all men. And he will want all to be in one body. And so God had in his mind that his plan was that all men would be one. That all men would be saved. that all men would be in his Son, that would be in Christ, this eternal purpose of God. And so we see that the Lord's church is distinct and its characteristics are distinct, because you have singing without the aid of mechanical instruments or music. The worship of the church is different. The Lord's Supper is taken each first day of the week. Acts 20 and 7, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29. And baptism adds one to the one church, which is immersion and burial in water. Baptism is for the remission of sins and is essential to salvation. It's not an outward sign of an inward grace. It's not a work of merit that saves us. It's an act of obedience because of our love for God and his word. See, we have to realize, and this is why, and I'm going to say something. I hope anybody don't get mad at me right now. But this is why we should be telling everybody we know, if we're in Christ. We should be telling people about where we go. You know, I had a lady this week. I was taking someone to a medical facility. It was an older lady. And she was, I guess, giving her testimony or giving her, you know, what God had done in her life. And she talked about she had lost her husband. And she talked about God was still with her. And she had some other things that happened. And God was good. And she, you know, many years ago, she had back problems and back aches and back surgeries. And God was still with her. And God was blessing her. And then at the end of when we get to, at the end, she's like, what church you go to? She asked me. And I told her, you know, where I go. And she, hey, now, if you ever looking to go to some other church, you come to my church. And I'm, you know, you ever looking, we just on high place. We want you to come over and to this and I want you to come. And we were at the place, and it was at the medical and at the entry of it. And I was trying to get out. She had a walker that I put in the trunk. And I'm trying to get, you know, she just kept talking and talking. And she's an older lady. I can't just tell the lady to, you know, not keep talking, you know, as we're getting out the car. And the security guard, he's kind of like, you know, say, hey, you can't block the entrance way or whatever and this and that. But she's telling me about where she goes to her denomination. And you can't find it anywhere in Holy Writ. But we have the truth, and sometimes we don't share. Amen. We won't tell people about where we go. Where we go? Wheeler's Lane Church of Christ. We won't share what we have, and people who don't have it will tell it. But we have the real deal. We have the one from the one, the Savior. We have what nobody can take away. We've got what everybody should want to have. Baptism adds one to the church, and it's not done once a quarter or once a year. And then we also have distinguishing mark of that. We continue in the apostles' teaching. The apostles' doctrine. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. It's the teaching of the apostles is what we continue in, and we're steadfast and unmovable in the apostles' doctrine. And this is something that we should be steadfast in, the teaching of the apostles. And so God said, Paul, when he said there is one body and one spirit, and even as you are called in one hope and one Lord and one faith and one baptism, you know, even in the Bible, you know, the Bible mentions baptism seven times. But there's only one baptism that saves. You have baptism for the dead. You got baptism, fire. You don't want that baptism. You've got other kind, you know, the Bible, it spokes about seven times, but the one baptism that saves is baptism in water. Amen. That's the baptism that saves. And so the distinguishing mark of the Lord's body is that his Son built it. His Son purchased it. And there's also something And I know we, maybe some people don't like this anymore either, but there's something in the name. You know, when you cash your check, there's something in the name. When you pick up your bag, when you pick up your bags from the airport, there's something in the name. We put our names on our bags. We put our names on a lot of things because there's something in the name. And when you hear parents calling you when you messed up, there's something in the name. Amen, somebody. And you know, and they can call, you know, when you know something, you know that when you really mess up, they can, Kelvin, you know. Or when they say, you know, you know, when they call, you know, Jesus called Lazarus. It was something in the name. When he called Lazarus to come forth. Because if he had to call any other, all those other bodies would have got up. But he had to call Lazarus. So there's something in a name. When a man marries a woman, there's something in the name. Nobody said anything. No brothers, no. Nobody said anything. I thought the brothers would have. But there's something in a name. Christ Church, he's married. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Christ is married to his bride. Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. He says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ." You know, I said the other day, I said, I'm not a hooper, but I get excited sometimes. I'm not a hooping preacher. I'm not one of these preachers, you know, the Lord told me, you know. I don't get, you know, nobody heard that kind of, you know. And he said, do this, and you know, they get, I don't, but that the fact that that we are dead to the law was that system that kept us kept them in bondage. He said, we are dead to the law by the body of Christ. That you should be married to one another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. When we are in Christ, Paul had told him in Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, the grace abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him in baptism, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. He has said that they were baptized into Christ. Now he says you are dead to the law by the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul would say that he put all things under his feet, talking about Christ, and gave him to be the head over the body, which is his church, the fullness of him that fills all in all. My friend, if you're not in the body of Christ, you're living beneath your privileges. If you're not in the church of Christ, you're living beneath your privileges. How do you become a part of the body of Christ? You become a part of the body of Christ by hearing the gospel. Paul would say, or he would talk about in Acts chapter 15, verse 7. It says, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." You've got to hear the fact that Christ died for our sins. The fact that he was buried and that he rose again with all power. You have to believe that gospel, according to John chapter 20, verse 30 through 31, which says many other signs that are written. They were talking about how Jesus, many other signs that Jesus did, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Jesus came to give us life. The devil wants to steal everything God intends for you. The thief comes to steal, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy. But Jesus has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You have to repent of your sins. According to Luke 13, 3 and 5, Jesus says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall also likewise perish. Repentance is a mental change, a turning from, it's not even a 180, but it's a 360 degree turn. It is turning away from the old way. Acts 17:30 says that one time God winked at ignorance, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. We have to confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Jesus said, whosoever therefore that shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father in heaven. And one must be baptized in water to be added to the one body. And if you're in the one body, you're saying, well, I already know all of this. Well, the church should be like Christ. We should have love and long suffering, and the church should look like Jesus. So if you're in Christ and say, well, I already know all of this, you ain't told me nothing. Well, are you living like Jesus? Are you talking like Jesus? Are you walking like Jesus? Are you forgiving like Jesus? Jesus forgave a man he knew was his betrayer, Judas. He knew Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas betrayed him. He said, the one that dips his hand in the dish is going to betray me. He knew his betrayer, and he still loved his betrayer. Do you love your Judas? Do you love the person that you know is at your job, that don't like you, that's trying to trip you up? Will you love that person? Jesus, but the church, we're supposed to be like Jesus. Now, I got to ask myself, do I love my Judas? It's hard to love your Judases. But the church should be like Jesus. That's who we are. We are Christ-like. We're Christians. We're in Christ. We have to behave like Christ. We've got to live. We've got to love like Christ. We've got to serve like Christ. We've got to be kind like Christ. And so God wants all of us to be a part of his body. You know, some people may think this is outdated. But when I look at everywhere with all that's going on in the world, with some of us now, we don't even want to take Amtrak to Philly in it now with all what's going on. I mean, you don't want to even, it seems like now you don't even want to travel with coronavirus and everything. I mean, it's just so much going on. I mean, people losing their lives at a younger age. If you don't have salvation, I could come here and talk about how to get over depression. I can talk about, maybe I'm not an expert on it, how to keep your money. I'm not an expert on it. I could give you some stuff from Proverbs, but I'm not an expert. I could talk about how to keep your marriage together and how to do this and how to do that. But the most important thing we have is our soul. And Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I could preach to you all kind of stuff about, you know, and how God parted the Red Sea and how God allowed him to walk on dry land. That's, you know, we have to have balance in preaching. You just can't preach, you know, fundamentals every sermon. But the most important thing is salvation. Have you given your life to Jesus this morning? Are you a Christian this morning? Are you in his body this morning? Have you obeyed the gospel this morning? If you have not done it, why not? Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised. I used to hear preachers say that and be like, man, what is he talking about? Man, you get out of here with that. Man, I got all, man, you can't tell me nothing. But who would have thought that Kobe Bryant wouldn't be here today? Who would have thought that Rocky Johnson would not still be living? Who would have thought that some of these young men, 20 years old, 19, who would have thought that they would have lost their lives? Tomorrow is not promised. All we have is today. All we have is right now. And so if you're not in Christ this morning, and if you have a question, I was going to say this earlier, if you have a question about anything, I'm going to be here till 2:30, unless they run me out of here 2:45. I'm just teasing. But I'm going to be here if you have a question about anything. If you have any question about anything that was said in the lesson, if you have any question, feel free to ask me. I'll give you a Bible. We'll give you a Bible answer. So if you need to be saved this morning, the water is ready. The angels in heaven are ready. If you need to be saved, if you need prayer this morning, there's elders here who will pray for you. James 5 talks about that if any is sick, to call for the elders and they'll pray. If you need prayer this morning, there are elders here, there are faithful brothers here who will pray for you if you need prayer. If you need to repent of sin, you can do that this morning as well. Whatever it is, we'd urge you to come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
What can, what?